2 Chronicles chapter 16 for our message tonight. A few moments I want to share a thought that the Lord spoke to my heart here these last few days from 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. I'd like to begin reading in verse number 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramoth, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, a king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There's a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of the armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramoth, and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramoth, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars." Our Father, we are so thankful tonight to be able to hear with our ears and sense with our hearts how you work in the lives of people. I think of the song, "His eye is on the sparrow." If only we could realize that the God we serve, if he's concerned about sparrows, certainly he's concerned about us. After all, he demonstrated that when he died on an old rugged cross for the sins of mankind, to redeem us unto himself. And I pray in this troubled world, in this uncertain society in which we're living in today, may we realize you are still in charge of everything that happens in the life of one of your children. And I pray that you'll help us to take this story, and I pray it might become a reality in our individual lives. Thank you for what it reminds me of in my own personal life. And I pray tonight that you would take me as your vessel, cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. When you study the Old Testament and you read about the kings, and I enjoy the Old Testament, and I love reading about how God dealt with the northern tribe of Israel and the southern tribe of Judah. And if you study that, you'll find that there were 20 kings that ruled in each of those different tribes. And we find that in the northern tribe, all of the kings were wicked sinful men, and a good percentage of those in the southern tribe, the tribe of Judah, were the same. But there were a few good kings, at least started out good, and you find out that just because you start out good doesn't mean you remain good. You find out just because you start out serving doesn't mean you'll keep on serving. And after all, when you study the life, and by the way, if you haven't learned yet, the Bible says that the Old Testament was written for our example. You see, God so loved us that he gave us a complete book. And he wants us to look and say, not look at how crazy the Israelites were. And we often say, if I'd been there and I'd seen the Red Sea parted and I'd walked through on dry land, if I'd seen the pillar of fire and I'd seen the pillar of clouds at night, I'd never stop serving God. Oh, yes, you would. You've done that because we read about it and we see greater miracles in the Bible and we still stop serving God. So God says, I put those things there for your example. I want you to learn, not look at their failures, but I want you to learn from their failures. So anyway, we find here that Asa started out being one of those good kings. He was ruling there in the southern tribe there of Judah. And we find out that he brought about many reforms there in the kingdom there while he was reigning among the people. He says, I'm going to put out, get away with Baal worship. I'm going to change some things. We're going to worship and serve the great God. And by the way, when he served God, God blessed him and stood behind him and protected him and provided for him, worked miracle after miracle in Asa's life. We find here in the story, during the reign of Asa, Baasha, who was the king of Israel, came out against Asa and his people. And he fortified the city there because there was the city Ramoth that was close to Jerusalem. And keep in mind, you find Asa ruling the northern tribe. Asa ruling the southern tribe and Baasha ruling the northern tribe. And he was a little bit worried about the people of the northern tribe going over to Jerusalem to serve on the Asa. So therefore, he fortified the city so that people could not come or go out. He didn't want to lose the control that he had. We find out that as he came out against Asa, I'm talking about a man that walked with God, a man that seen him take a smaller group of people and take on a million that fought against him and gave the victory because he relied upon Almighty God. Just a little time later, when Baasha came out against him, instead of looking back and looking up and realizing what God had done in his life, he turned from relying upon God Almighty and put his eyes on man. So he took the treasures out of God's house and out of his own house, and he went to a man by the name of Ben-Hadad, we find here, the king of Syria. And he says, I want to make a league with you like my father had with you. He said, I'm going to give you all of this money, and I want you to go out and I want you to attack Baasha. I want you to fight against him, take his attention away from fortifying that city and have him to come and defend himself. And then when he leaves, I'm going to go take all that stuff he had, and I'm going to bring it in to myself, get him off my back when you get on him and you help me out. Sound like a good plan. Matter of fact, it was such a good plan that it worked. In other words, it accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. But he found out something. Asa found out that even though his plan worked, it didn't please God. You see, the end does not justify the means. Just because you can figure out something from a human perspective that may work doesn't mean it's something God approves. And by the way, in these days in which we live, we're going to have to find out that we're living in a time where the temptation is so strong to be able to follow what we can figure out. We better realize something. God says, I've given you some examples in my book, and I've done some things in your life that I don't want you in tough times to rely upon man. I want you to always rely upon me. So he sends the prophet, Hanani, and he goes to him with a rebuke. He said, I'll tell you something, Asa. He said, you came up with a good plan. And he says, but you forgot something. Don't you remember when that million came out against you? You didn't have to lift a finger. God whipped them for you. And now all of a sudden you come up with this bright idea that you can take money and hire a heathen king to help you accomplish something that God's been doing for you all along. And he says, I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. He says, first of all, you've done foolishly. He said, I know it looked good, but it didn't please God. Just because you accomplished something and got it, the job done, doesn't mean that it pleased God if you went against what God expected to do. Have you forgotten, he said, what God did for you when the Ethiopians and the Lubans came out against you and how he whipped them? And he says, because you made that foolish mistake that looked good on the surface, you're going to have problems the rest of your reign. And he did. So after he rebuked him about the foolishness he had done, he recorded, which is one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. I want you to look at verse number 9, what he said. After he told him, he says, you've forgotten what God had done in your life because you didst rely upon the Lord. He delivered them into thine hand in verse number 8. And he says, I want to remind you of something you shouldn't have forgotten. And I want to remind all the people all the time, every time in your life, when you're about to make a decision, when it looks tempting to you, I want to remind you of something, he said. Verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. He said, Asa, I want to remind you of something. The God in heaven, the God who delivered the Ethiopians and the Lubans into your hands, I want you to understand something. This God looks all over the world. He looks at every situation. He looks at every child of God. He looks at every problem. He looks at every decision. He looks at everything that you're facing. He's not looking at who you are, what you have, what you can accomplish, how much you know. He's simply looking at your situation, what you're facing, and he's simply trying to find somebody that still believes he's a God who solves problems. Amen. And he says, I'm telling you something. And by the way, it's harder and harder and harder today than any time I've seen in 35 years as a Christian for God's people to let God solve their problems. We're in the process of trying to build a child care center, and all the time when I'm awake, I'm working on it, and when I'm sleeping, I'm working on it. I'm trying to figure out, and all of the time you get all of these temptations and you get all of these offerings, and it looks so good on the surface, and you find someone said, I can do this for you, and I can do this if you do this. And every once in a while, rather than begging and pleading all the time, you kind of say, yeah, you know, I ought to try this, and then the Holy Spirit of God cries out to the Word of God, have you forgotten there's a God in heaven, and he looks to and fro trying to find somebody that realizes the problem, the situation that you're facing is not bigger than Almighty God. He says, I'm in the business of trying to find somebody that will just let me be God. I realize you've got a business mind. I realize you've got a education. I realize you got resources. I realize you know a little bit about accounting. But let me tell you something. Put them all together. And just because you can figure out something doesn't mean it's of God. I think you cannot help today if you watch news. You turn on the television, you look at the economy, you look at things that we're going through in life today that's so uncertain. I mean, you look at the job situation, you look at the money situation, people don't know what to do. I mean, it won't be long before folks were trying to find some kind of safe or trying to open up their, lift up the mattress and trying to put the money. Should have put it in the bank, should have put it in the stock market, should have put it here. What should I do? Should have go here, should have do this. And it's all mass confusion. But God says, I'm still looking. I'm still looking, trying to find somebody who hasn't let their problem be bigger than their God. Amen. And Asa didn't learn that, and he flopped. And you mark it down, whether it's a job, whether it's a family situation, whether it's a financial situation, when you start getting ahead of God because you can figure out how to get something done, you'll end up doing something foolish. And from the time that you do it, you're going to have wars. Well, you may accomplish the task. You may get the loan. You may get this. And you may get this. But let me tell you something. If it's not what God intended, you're going to have wars. And he says, let's remember something. I'm looking. I'm looking over here at this situation. I'm looking over here at this situation. And by the way, God says, I'm not shocked. I didn't all of a sudden realize that this is major. God says, I see all at the same time. I'm never moved, never changed, never disgusted about what's going on. What I'm disgusted at is the person who makes a foolish decision about their little matter because they're forgotten. I'm looking, trying to find somebody to save. God, you're good. God, you're great. God, you answer prayers. God, you're still on the throne. God, you still provide. God, you still love me. God, you're still there. Just help me not to get ahead of God and do something foolish that would cause me the rest of my life to have wars. And by the way, a whole bunch of us are going through those things because we're in the foolish decision-making business. Doesn't take much for us to make a decision because we can figure it out. And it looks like we've done something great until we find out somewhere along the line, I bent the rules a little bit. I lost a little faith, didn't have a little trust, and you find out it's not of God. And from then on, you have nothing but wars. And by the way, you'll have wars because you'll have a conscious war. You start doing something, I don't care how successful it is, if you find out it's not what God wanted, you're going to have a war in your soul. So God says, I'm looking for somebody that'll simply let me be God. Now, very quickly, four little thoughts, and I won't be long. Well, since I haven't preached in a while, I may be excused. All right? God says, I want to show myself strong. And get a hold of this. In your situation. Not too small. Not too big. Not too complicated. I'm looking at your situation. I'm looking to and fro. Show me somebody. God, let me be God. And I believe I'm God. And he says, I'll show myself strong. Now, how could God say that to us? Well, first of all, because of the providence of God. Well, you know what the providence of God means? Nothing happened that surprised him. Your situation, my situation, didn't slip up on God. The verse says, it runs to and fro. And then it says, throughout the whole earth. In other words, it's running and reaching. He looks way over here and way over there. And way over there, and way down there. He looks all the time at every situation at the same time, and he says, give me one situation where somebody would simply let me be God. Let me do what you testified I would do. Let me do what you prayed for me to do. Let me do what you tell everybody I will do until it happens to you. If you believe I'm all powerful, let me be all powerful. If you believe I'm all knowing, then don't act like I didn't know. If you believe I'm ever present, act like I'm there. Just let me be God. Because I'm running to and fro and reaching every place to try to find somebody that let me be God. The providence of God means nothing surprises him. Amen. Nothing happens that he's not aware of. And then I think secondly about the power of God. He says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. He said, I'm just trying to find somebody that'll have enough faith and enough trust to let me show them my power. In other words, I'm trying to find somebody who believes their future path that they're taking is in my hands. They get up in the morning and they know every step they take, they're taking because they know I'm stepping with them. I'm trying to find somebody that's got a family problem that will simply let me know, God said, let me know that I'm in the family solving problem. I'm trying to find somebody that's got a financial problem. You can't sleep at night. You worry all the time. I'm trying to find somebody that really believes I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. I'm just trying to find somebody who's broke. That's a whole church full. But I'm trying to find somebody who's broke and not falling apart because you're broke.
You may not have money in the bank. You may not have stocks on the market. You may not have anything saved up. You as broke can be, but you still have God. Give me one, he said. A man or a woman, a boy or a girl, you find the average Christian today that's broke and he's broken. Broken. Can't smile. Can't praise God. Can't find a holy shout. Nothing, because you're just broken, 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 broken. And you're broken because you're broke. You may be in good health, but you're broke. And that makes you miserable. God says, where in the world are the broke people that still believe I'm God? You're not broke. You're kings and priests if you're saved. He said, I didn't save you just for you to have all that the world has to offer. You have what heaven has for you. And let me find somebody who's got a bad situation that believe I knew about it, and they'll let me in their situation show them my power. He says, I'm looking to and fro. I stop over at Crossroads Baptist Church. Oh, a whole lot of broke people in Crossroads Baptist Church. But because they're broke, they are broken. But let me find one that says, I'm broke, but I'm still saved. I'm broke, but I'm still going to heaven. I'm broke, but God's still on the throne. I'm looking for one who will understand. I knew before you got broke that you would get broke. Matter of fact, I knew when you made that foolish decision you made, you were going to end up broke. Already knew that. I'm looking. And then it gets better. He says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Now notice this. In the behalf of them. God said, I don't need to prove to myself that I'm strong. I don't have to prove to myself that I'm God. I spoke the universe into being. I put the stars in the sky. I put the moon up there. I caused the sun to shine. I'm the one that brought that rain that got you wet on the way to church tonight. He said, I'm not looking for somebody that's going to make me know that I'm strong. I'm just trying to find somebody that I can show myself strong on their behalf. I'm trying to find somebody that's in a bad situation, and they'll let me show them how strong I am on their behalf because I love them. I long to help them. He's saying, I'm looking out for them. I don't know about you, but that does something to me. That means it doesn't matter the size of my problem. Right. To make a deal with God. He's not moved, or he loses any sleep. Or he says, in order for me to do this one, I'm going to have to get me a few thousand angels to help me out. No. Matter of fact, he doesn't even need an angel to find you. I know where you are, what you're going through, what your situation is, and I know it better than you. And I'm looking to and fro over the whole earth, and I want to do one thing. I want to show myself strong on your behalf. You know that problem you're having on that job, and you go there and
You talk your co-workers about praying, I'm a Christian, and I'm an independent Baptist, and I believe in the true God. And they know about that major problem, and you say, I'm going to pray about it. And God says, I'm looking for somebody who's going to pray about it and believe that the God they're praying to can do something about it, and then have enough faith to let me do something about it that can show that person my power that I'm doing on your behalf. And he says, I'm looking to and fro. I look over at Crossroads Baptist Church. Whole lot of people. There's enough problems down there. But if I can get some people to just let me be God, I could show a whole lot of things to other people on their behalf. We talk about the providence of God and the power of God. And the reason God wants to solve your problem and my problem is not that he needs that. He's doing that on our behalf to show us he loves us. He longs to help us. He's looking out for us because we belong to him. And then the fourth thing that verse says, it gets better. We see the providence of God, and the power of God, and the purpose for God. But here's where we lose it. He can only do this for the people of God. You know what? God is not showing himself strong on behalf of all people who say they're Christians. God's not showing himself strong to every member of the Crossroads Baptist Church. God's not showing himself strong just because somebody is preaching. He says, the providence, I'm aware of what's going on. My power is there. I've got a purpose. I want to do something on your behalf, but you've got to line up and be one of the people that I can do it for. Now look at the verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, show himself strong in the behalf of them. Notice this. Whose heart is perfect toward him. It's got to be a heart that's mature enough, first of all, to desire God to work on your behalf. Then it's got to be a heart that will depend upon God to work on your behalf. And then it has to be a heart that's devoted to God working on your behalf. Now you say, well, that'll be, look, Asa one time had less than 500,000 men. 1 million came out against him, plus 300 chariots. And he never had to lift a finger because his heart was perfect toward God. He depended upon God, desired God, was devoted to God, and God whipped that 1 million people, outnumbered 2 to 1. That was in chapter 14. By the time he got to chapter 16, he only had one king and his army coming against a man who had trusted God a little time sooner, and he panicked, took the money that he had in his possessions and offered it to a heathen king to help him fight a battle that he didn't even have to fight if his heart had been perfect toward God. I think a lot of times we fight battles we don't have to fight because our heart is not perfect toward God. That doesn't mean we don't pray. Every Christian in here prays. You couldn't be a member of the Crossroads Baptist Church and sit here and not pray without feeling guilty. We have men's prayer meeting, church prayer meeting, and we encourage you to pray. So I know everybody in here prays. Now, some pray more than others, but I also know that everybody here who's praying is not getting victory in their lives. But we ought to be, because the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro trying to find somebody who needs victory, that he can show himself strong on your behalf, because your heart is perfect toward him. Let's let God fight the battles he wants to fight for us. And let's get out of the way, because you're going to find, if you haven't found already, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Sometimes we come up with ways to do things and accomplish things, and we set out our plans and we're successful in accomplishing that. And then we find out later we did foolish, because somewhere down the line I had to compromise. Just because you need more money and you broke doesn't mean you need to take the wrong kind of job to take you away from church. Just because you need to pay some bills and you have a hard time paying them, it's foolish anytime you take your tithes and offerings to pay them. And say 35 years counseling, a long time, I've never seen anybody rob God and were successful in taking care of your other problems. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, because you do foolish. And so often, and I'm preaching this myself because God preached this to me, and so often when you carry the burden that I carry all the time to get something accomplished, there's so many temptations out there that we'll let you have all the money. Then the devil told me, he said, we'll give you all the money and you won't have to stand up and ask anybody to buy bread. We'll just give it all. And then you look at, and you figure out all of that, and you find out it's foolish. I'm telling you, I've been saved long enough and been through enough. See, I haven't had to take on a million against 500,000, but I've had some battles that could not have been won outside of God. Amen. Whenever you get into that situation, I thank God that I have enough to look back on what God has done. And then when I'm a little sluggish looking back, I just look at. And she quickly reminds me all the time, that's foolish. That's foolish. And then you go back around and say, I wish you'd just be quiet. Anyway, be careful. Be careful when you start figuring out things your way, especially if it ever takes you contrary to God's word. You don't need to pray about it anymore. You don't need any counsel about it. You don't need to seek any advice. It's taboo. Forget it. God never goes contrary to his word. And remember this, nothing surprises God. It's in his providence. He knows your situation. He wants to show his power in your situation. He wants to do it on your behalf. All he ever asked, let your heart be perfect toward him. Desire him. Depend upon him. Be devoted to him. And you'll find out every single time God takes care of the situation of his people at his time, because his eyes are always looking and reaching in every place.
to show himself to be God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.